I am not Matt Cardona. I know that's shocking to you. Matt's fine. Occasionally he lets the OWOPs, which stands for Old Worn Out Preachers, to take a turn in the pulpit for him. And so he has allowed me to do that today. I'm grateful. Nestled between the scripture from the First Testament this week, some people call that the Hebrew Bible, and some people call that the Old Testament. I usually refer to it as the First Testament. So the First Testament reading this week is from Jeremiah. It is a completely depressing scripture reading where it is telling the story of a people who were dragged from their home and took as captives to a different place. And the scripture is instructing those people who have no home, no voice, no power, to work for the good of the city where they've been taken to. That's a really hard scripture. Nestled between that scripture from the First Testament and the scripture from the Second Testament, some people call the New Testament, some people call the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is from Timothy, is the story of Paul being persecuted. Okay? So between systemic oppression of a people and individual persecution, we get this scripture from Psalm 66. Listen with me today. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of God's name. Give God glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. They sing praises to your name. This is God's word, and we can trust it. To God. So before we get into this scripture instructing us to make a joyful noise, which is surrounded by scriptures of oppression and persecution, before we try to unravel that, let's pray. God, open our hearts and minds to you, that as your scripture is read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. In the midst of instructions to a conquered people to make the best of a really bad situation, in the midst of Paul's troubles, we get this instruction to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And that request is made, I don't know if you caught this, but it's made not just to humans. The request is made to the whole earth. The implication of that is, obviously, that it's not all about us, right? It's totally about God, and everybody's invited. Totally about God, and everyone is invited. Every time I write a sermon, I had a really good preaching instructor, and he said that a sermon is a conversation between you, preacher, the Holy Spirit, and the congregation, right? So I can't just take a sermon that I wrote for Westlake UMC, which is where I'm providing some preaching help as their person is out on maternity leave, and preach it here. That doesn't work because y'all aren't the same community, right? So you have to write the sermon with the people in mind. And y'all have your own distinct peopleness. Every time I write a sermon, I write a sermon focus and function. That's one of the techniques that preachers use to build a sermon. It's not the only one. It's the one I use. And I never tell the people what the focus and function is. I just don't do that because the point is my sermon should make that obvious, right? But I'm going to tell you today because maybe I'm off my game. My sermon focus is that joyful noises come in all forms. my sermon function, what I'm hoping we will do together after this sermon. I'm hoping that we will abandon our fear and entitlement and embrace making joyful noises to the Lord with everyone else, humans and non-humans alike. And now, if you have something really important to do, you've got the crib notes. I find it really amusing that the lectionary folks put this psalm in the middle of those two scriptures, right? Those scriptures are hard, and they're about coping in the midst of oppression. They also added the gospel text for today, which is the story of the 10 lepers. You know that one? 10 lepers, they're clearly ill, they go by Jesus. Jesus says, go to the priests and you will be made clean. And on the way, they are cured, right? And one of them comes back and makes a joyful noise to Jesus and praises God. Doesn't thank Jesus, praises God, right? And Jesus says, there were 10 of you and only one comes back. Love it when Jesus is a smart aleck. Nobody really catches it, right? Then he says, your faith has made you well. Right? He's not just cured, he's healed. In the midst of making a joyful noise as a result of being cured, he is also healed. And we talk about that distinction a lot in cancer world, right? I work with people who have cancer all the time. We talk a lot about the difference between cure and heal. Sometimes they're the same thing, but not always. When I pastored a church in Cedar Park, we had great window doors, right, that opened right into the sanctuary. So we have these beautiful stained glass windows, but we had glass doors that were see-through, okay? We had neighbors that had peacocks. Have you ever been around peacocks? I do not like them. They're loud, they're obnoxious, they make a big mess. They're kind of pushy. Those birds, every Sunday, were in worship. They would fly over their fence. Yes, they can fly. And they would come to those glass doors and sit there and watch us. I think they thought it was their weekly zoo appointment. Except they would squawk at all the right times. We were singing, they were squawking. It's like, oh, joyful noises from birds I don't like very much. And that's exactly what today's scripture talks about, right? I have a good reason to not like peacocks. I took my little girl, who is now way an adult, to the zoo. And we were at the zoo, and she had a sandwich, and she was very tiny. And this peacock, very well-fed peacock at the Denver Zoo, very well-fed, very well-kept. This peacock had everything he needed. You know what he did? He came up and took my daughter's sandwich out of her hand. Because it wasn't enough that he had all that stuff. He wanted her stuff, too. And then when she started crying about it, he acted like maybe he was enjoying that, too. I didn't like him. I didn't like the peacocks at the church. And it turns out that maybe I hold so much resentment to peacock animals because perhaps I've shared a room with a few human peacocks. You know what I mean? Like, sure, they're pretty, but they're kind of stinky. They always act like they own the room, and everyone should be adoring them. And also, they have enough stuff, but they take everybody else's stuff too. They don't seem to mind if they make other people cry. So, I don't like peacocks very much. Of either kind. Turns out, though, that I don't get to pick who makes a joyful noise to the Lord. The scripture doesn't say, hey, everybody. everyone that Tina thinks is okay gets to make a joyful noise to the Lord. The scripture says, let all the earth make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. God wants everybody in. Opens the door wide, gives us an assignment, and encourages us to play. I love that about God. Even when I get annoyed, God has the bigger picture, and I'm so grateful for that. Yeah. One of the things that I think about a lot is not only that God invites us all to make a joyful noise, but I wonder what a joyful noise looks like. I love it when we have littles in worship and they make noise. I love that. That is a joyful noise to me. In every congregation I've ever served, not in this congregation, okay? So there are some distinctions. Context is important. In every congregation I've served, when a cell phone went off during worship, it was a joyful noise. Because the rule was, if your cell phone went off during worship, you got to give $100 to UMCOR. It was a privilege. And so that was a joyful noise. This church, no, we turn them off during worship. You just have to know what the context is. Sometimes context is everything. At one of my churches, we had a lot of kids. A lot of kids. And here's the deal. Many of those kids, we were an inner city church. We were divided from our apartment neighbors by a fence. Most of those kids would slip through the fence, come over unattended. A lot of them, because once one of them figured it out, they brought their buddies. So we suddenly had all of these children, sans adults in the congregation. And they just started showing up. Can you imagine the chaos when you go from 4 kids in worship to 30? Right? And here's the deal. They were loud. They were non-English speaking. They were non-Spanish speaking. They spoke Matu, which is a tribal language from Myanmar. We're several spaces away from knowing Matu at that church, right? We knew Spanish, we knew English. We had some little French. We had zero Matu. These kids were headed over. They didn't speak the language. Culturally, I cannot describe to you how different the culture of tribes from the Chin province in Burma are to American culture. It's a very different culture. So different language, different culture, a lot of kids all showing up at the same time. We decided it was a joyful noise because in God's economy, everyone welcomed and valued. Now, my darling husband, who I've been married to for a long time, told me that God's economy is a Catholic thing and I better explain it. I grew up with that term because I grew up very Roman Catholic, but when we talked about God's economy in the Catholic Church, what we meant was what was important to God, right? Capitalist economy, what's important is money, right? God's economy, what is important is value, love, worship, joyful noises. God's economy, everybody's welcome, and everybody's called to make a joyful noise. So we decided that these small people were making joyful noises. Then we had to sort out how to facilitate that. So we had committee meetings to talk about it, because that's what churches do, right? And in the committee meetings, there were several kinds of joyful noises going on, right? Some of the joyful noises were from people going, "This is so amazing." And some of the joyful noises were from people going, "We have a problem with making sure that we are safe sanctuary certified with 30 kids running around." That's a joyful noise. It's pointing out a problem, right? But it's also saying, we need to make sure we make everybody safe. Smart. That's identifying an obstacle and then inviting people to brainstorm how to get through it. That's a joyful noise, I think. You may disagree, but I think that's a joyful noise. I will confess that we also had people that said, "These children are worshiping my worship experience, are ruining my worship experience." We had those noises too. I'm going to contend that those are not joyful noises. And the reason my case for that is this. They were not about God, right? They were about that person's experience and desire to make worship what they needed, rather than what God was describing. And so we did a lot of praying and a lot of reflecting and a lot of... And I will say that I think that the people that spoke for those children were making a joyful noise. Because quite literally, those children could not speak for themselves, right? First of all, they didn't know English. So they literally could not speak in the meeting. Also, they had no idea what was appropriate in a committee meeting. And I share their inexperience with that. I also stumble in committee meetings and don't know what to say. There's lots of us that struggle with that. They could not speak for themselves in this situation. And I believe that the people that were speaking for them we're by definition making a joyful noise to the Lord. When we speak for people that don't have the ability to speak for themselves because they're left out of the room or they don't know how to communicate in that setting, when we sit with people, we are making joyful noises to the Lord. And we all are called to do that. I will say that there was no one who left the church because we accommodated those kids. And I think that that's a miracle. Don't you think? I will say that the process was so messy. But by the end of it, we had ASL classes for the adults. We had a worship service in Matu and a worship service in English. Right? By the end of it, we were making all kinds of joyful noises that we didn't even know were possible. To be honest with you, none of us in that room on the first Sunday when all those kids showed up knew what Matu was. By the end of it, we knew a few Matu words. Making a joyful noise for the Lord can be done in so many different ways. It can be done really quietly, right? When we help people without them really even knowing. You guys know about the website? I think it's called Make a Lasagna. Have you heard of this website? It's really a cool concept. It's not a church thing, right? Most of the people that frequent this website are not church-related at all. But you go to the website, and somebody posts that they're in distress, right? They're in the hospital, something's gone wrong, and they need help with food. And then you make a lasagna, and you take it to them. It's the new way to get a meal train for people that don't have a community. I got to tell you, I think it's a joyful noise. And I'm on the hunt for joyful noises. always been on the hunt for joyful noises, but right now, I've seen more people who are kind of on edge. They get their order at the coffee shop and it's not quite right. And normally, they'd be able to just go, no big deal. But now, because of something, and it's probably a lot of things, but now people are starting to lose it more often. And so I just don't want to contribute to that. I want to try and make a joyful noise. And to be honest with you, sometimes for me, a joyful noise is silence when what I want to do is be cranky pants. Joyful noises honor God in ways that we cannot imagine. And they come in places where we can't see it coming. When we find ourselves in a room arguing loudly, right? Let it be only and ever in an effort to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Not to protect our own position or preference, but to recognize that all of creation is a joy to God, and that we are only one small part put here to be part of a great chorus of joyful noises. Let us pray. God, thank you for making our call clear. Whether we are like the people in Jeremiah, shipped off to oppression, we are like Paul in the midst of our own private persecution. We're like the one leper. Bless us, Lord, to look first to make a joyful noise to you. Amen.